This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, and we're asking you, with the reopening of barbers and hair salons, is a price hike justified? Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Let's just look at Twitter polls. It's still about the same, but we've got a couple of comments. Benji827 says, I think the PPE should be paid by the customer, to be fair. And Muna says, itemize the disposable items with the price at the entrance of hair salon, so customers have the idea of what are the extra costs that they bear. And that's exactly what, you know, Jeevan was mentioning as well, right? Make it clear, educate your customers, and don't just, you know, kind of like say that, you know, oh, we've got a price increase, or worse still, just quietly go about the price increase without even, you know, mentioning about it.
Ro here, barbers cutting everything but costs. Okay, Angel Percival said, not just lessees or hair salons, full set of PPE for both stylist and customer is replaced, you know, each customer handle, right? And there was this comment here by Pong. He said that, please correct me if I'm wrong, no offense, for those express haircut, the answer is yes, because they charge cheap, volume is what they're making. No, for those expensive hair salons, they're charged already sky high. In fact, only how many customers they have a day, every day. I think, you know, you already know when you go to a barber or when you go to a high-end hair salon, that is the price, right?
Yeah.
But those costs are still there, right? So you also, and you know you're going to be paying a little bit more. But I think, like, when it comes to all these items, it's only fair, right? You understand the situation. And it's your choice at the end of the day whether you want to go to the low end or the high end, right?
Yeah. And like, I think, you know, just like what Jeevan said, right? You still have the option. If you feel that, you know, you're not happy with it, then, you know, you can always go to a different place. Now, let's talk about, you know, sticking with the whole SOPs and how they're impacting businesses. Pasar Malam Traders, Arf.
Yeah, so it was announced last week, I think, that wet markets and Pasar Malam were allowed to reopen starting today. And I think a lot of people have been excited about that announcement. But an estimated 80% of the 200 Pasar Malam operating in KL may not reopen because traders find it difficult to comply with the standard operating procedures or SOPs in running their business. So this would affect the iconic Lorong Ta night market as well. And Lorong Ta Hawkers and Traders Association Chairman Azkar Lim Suradi said that most night market operators and traders would rather wait out the whole recovery stage before resuming business after August 31st. So that's a whole 2 months from now. Yeah, he said that gating or relocating, social distancing of 1.5 meters between people and not allowing children below 13 will not work for Pasar Malam setting that is a family-based social activity. They are basing this sentiment on a meeting held with City Hall where 90% of the 200 night markets in KL were represented. So the interesting thing is, like, so far City Hall said they only got 10 markets, applications from 10 markets had submitted applications to resume business. Seven of those were night markets, and three were approved on the condition they relocate to new sites. So those new markets are Batu, Sri Petaling, and Kepong. And as Kalim said that many traders had taken huge investments, including loans to do business at the Ramadan bazaars that were obviously cancelled. So now those, the stock that they took, are lying at home with them. So he's calling on the government to consider dispersing 500 ringgit cash aid to the poor petty the petty traders, which it did some time back, but maybe twice or three times before the RMCO is over. So that's on the side of the Pasar Malam vendors. On the flip side, just let's take a look at the SOPs that were set by City Hall to allow Pasar Malams to reopen. So the police and the health ministry are involved in the approval process alongside a special committee that was set up specifically for this. And first of all applications must include an application letter, a site proposal, and a layout plan. City Hall and police will monitor the markets, and they said that if they find any non-compliance, the markets will be closed immediately. And apparently gating is highly recommended but not compulsory if the markets can control the surrounding vicinity. Operating hours are from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. for morning wet markets and 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. for night markets. Only takeaway is allowed, and stalls must be set up 1.5 meters to 2 meters apart. And finally, the market must be located in an open area with fencing to allow one-way entrance, and traders must use PPE gloves and face masks. So just like the barbers and stuff. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Because I'm a bit conflicted.
Yeah.
But I want to know what you guys think first.
Yes, the standards are higher, and you know, I'm not standards are higher. These are the SOP, and I know it's challenging, but unfortunately, you have to follow it. You know, they say, okay, children are allowed. It's family. I know this is, and it's a cultural thing, right? Do we need to bring our children? You know, that sort of thing. Mm. I never liked going to the Pasar Malam or the wet markets, even as a child, because it was just, you know, so, but, you know, you have to do this, unfortunately.
I think, you know, I'm with Arfia. It's you know, you're kind of like torn in between, because one is the aspect of, you know, these, you know, Pasar Malams or wet markets are the ones where a lot of the traders are in desperate need, right? Yeah. Many of them are in debt. And, you know, we've heard about many stories about how they had to throw away, you know, their produce because, you know, there was just, it was just really difficult to operate, right? Mm. So there they're incurring costs. And, you know, generally, you would say most of them are, you know, either in the M40 or even in the B40 group as well, right? So they're trying to make a living and they're not being, you know, helped by them not being allowed to run their business. And then there's also about the consumers front, because, you know, I've been going to, you know, grocery markets, right? So the ones in shopping malls. So, and the cost is higher. Mm. So instead of me doing my monthly groceries that you usually would cost me around 100 or 200 ringgit, now it's doubled to 300 to 400 ringgit, right? And simply because I'm getting my meat from different places that are just more costly. And you know, my mom, you know, told me about, like, you know, if only, like, she could actually, you know, go to, like, the Pasar Malam and get produce from there, right? Whether it's chicken or any kind of poultry meat, because it's
significantly cheaper.
It's significantly cheaper there. So there's also, like, you know, what about those who can't afford to go to the high-end groceries to actually get their produce? So,
and I guess if you, you know, follow the SOP, the cost of the chicken will go up.
Yeah, so, you know, and then there is the SOPs, because Pasar Malams are by the side of, you know, housing areas and stuff. Yeah. So now it's like, it's got to be probably in, like, you know, a car parked area, a car, you know, where you have, like, offices where you have this empty lot where it's gated, so you can control the one way in and one way out to get your essentials and out. It's no more of what we, I think, you know, used to associate Pasar Malam with as before. You know, we'd be like, you know, what do you do? Like, you know, interesting date options was always like, let's go to Pasar Malam, right? Because you would have these fancy kind of Pasar Malams, you know, the hipster kind of Pasar Malams and stuff. Now that's, you know, out of the window. Now Pasar Malam is really just to get your necessities. So I'm same with Arfia, torn, conflicted, and, you know, hopefully that there will be some, I guess, you know, ways as they, you know, move forward and find a ideal sweet spot where SOPs are still, you know, it's a must, like you said, right?
At the same time, it must be difficult for them to make sense of this, because on one side you have them saying you cannot operate at 100% capacity, like you must have, like, you know, you must gate the place, you must control the place, control crowds and stuff. But on the other side, like, public transport is allowed to work at 100% capacity. So it's, you know, if public transport, then why not restaurants? Why not Pasar Malam? You know what I mean? It's like it must be difficult for the traders to make sense of the rules and the regulations. So maybe that's why they're not happy with it.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I understand they have to follow the rules and it's a pandemic and you cannot have 100% capacity Pasar Malam. That's just asking for trouble. But when you allow one sector to do 100%, another sector not to do 100%, I guess it's a bit challenging to digest or make sense of the new SOPs. Yeah.
But I think a lot of things are not 100%. You know, I mean, even you know, like the hair salons, it's not 100% because spacing and all that, right? It's by appointment right now. So no one really is operating at 100%. We aren't operating at 100%.
Exactly. I mean, you know, Arv is, you know, joining us on this virtual head that's roaming around in the studios here. So, you know, that speaks a lot by itself.
He's in the Swiss Alps.
So, you know, get in touch with us today. You know, we've been asking you, you know, with the reopening of barbers and hair salons, is a price hike justified? Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We'll come back and we'll talk about Amazon hitting their record sales numbers, but satisfaction is at an all-time low. Stick around, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.